Today, we remember Mary, Jesus' mother, the mother of God. And recently, when I think about her, I think about this pencil pouch that I have on my desk. It's got Mary on it, but it's not just any version of Mary. She's wearing boxing gloves, her fists up, ready to swing. And next to the image in traditional-looking text, it says, "Hail Mary, full of grace. Punch the devil in the face." And it makes me smile, and I love having it around because, like you, people will see it and they'll laugh. And even better is when someone looks at it and they're like, "Is that real?" And it is a real thing, people believe, at least sort of, and it's a much older tradition than you might think. There's a 13th century English manuscript, the De Brail Hours, where Mary throws a punch to retrieve a signed contract from the devil. Apparently, some poor soul named Theophilus had sold his soul, and Mary would have none of that. And a century later, in the Tammuth Hours, she hands off the baby Jesus to the archangel Gabriel, like she's just passing off a toddler at a family reunion. And then she tackles Satan to the ground. In a French martyrology from around 1300, she's got the devil cornered, and she's swinging what one art historian cheerfully calls a Beelzebul bat. And then in an 18th century Spanish painting, she isn't swinging anything at all. No, she's standing on the serpent's neck, cross-top spear in her hand, absolutely cool as a cucumber. Now, medieval Christians, whatever else we might say about them, were not squeamish about a Mary who fights. But honestly, the pictures are kind of the easy part. We can place them in a box where they're safely medieval, a joke on a pencil pouch, a Mary we can keep at arm's length. But the real fight is in what she actually said. There she was, pregnant, unmarried, poor, a teenager in an occupied country, standing in her cousin Elizabeth's doorway, opening her mouth to sing the most dangerous song in the New Testament. Listen to her words. "God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away." This is not an innocent song. This is a coup. And this is where it stops being just fun and games. I think many of us will happily take a fighting Mary as long as she stays a curiosity, a medieval oddity. She can have her gloves on, but she's just punching thin air. Because history has shown it is much, much harder for us to sit with a Mary who actually means it. She's gotten sanitized. She's been made meek and mild, gentle, demure, eyes downcast. That's how so much of Western art depicts her. And of course, there is a small kernel of truth there. She was young. She was vulnerable. She was poor. But if that's the only Mary that you've got, you lost the one who just told us plainly what her God is actually like. Now, there's an old, old title for her lifted straight out of Proverbs 31, which I must say is an atrocious text that has been used to describe the ideal subservient wife. But in it, the writer of Proverbs uses a Hebrew term, eshet chayil. Usually it gets flattened into English as a virtuous woman, a capable wife. But the scholar Robert Alter translates chayil more literally, vigor, strength, worth, substance. He said it was originally a military term, transferred out of the battlefield and into civic life. A woman of valor. Not virtuous, valorous. A kind of warrior. Medieval writers took that same title and ran even further with it until woman of valor became shorthand for Mary the warrior, Mary the champion, Mary the conqueror, and the leader. The Byzantine world took this one step further still. And there's a hymn still sung to this day in the Orthodox tradition that calls her the champion general, that thanks her for the prize of victory, and asks her, since she holds invincible power, to go ahead and free her people from every peril. Champion general. Not exactly the woman on your average Christmas card. And the woman on my pencil pouch with gloves on, fists up, is not just cute. She's a warning shot. Because Mary's strength was never that she personally hauls the powerful off their thrones. That's God's doing. Her strength is that she said yes to God's absolutely crazy plan. She bought in to the announcement that a virgin should have a child. No, actually, it's even bigger than that, that a poor, young, rural girl living under occupation could and should be the one that would give birth to God. She said yes to all of that. And then she lived it. Mary was with Jesus every step of the way. Through the good, the bad, the heartbreak, the death, the resurrection, throughout it all, her soul magnified the Lord. But I need you to notice one thing. At this point, when she's singing her song in the gospel, her boldness isn't confidence that everything's already fine. It's the audacity to sing the words before she's got one shred of proof that they're true. And some theologians have taken to calling this faithful hubris, humble boldness. Not the confidence that you've already won, but the hopeful boldness to act like you might, though, against every single odd. Because that is what it takes to believe you can build the kingdom of God from the bottom of the pile. It's what it takes to speak truth to power, to actually live the Beatitudes instead of just recite them, to pick up a cross and keep walking with it. It takes gumption. It takes hubris. It takes faith. Now the gloves are already on. The fight's already happening. The woman of valor did it, that champion general, Mary. And she offers us a challenge. Do we have the faith to be so bold? Can we join in too?